This is Winston Rutledge of Kodiak, Alaska, and I'm talking with Daniel Boone Reed at Kodiak Homesteader. Today is November 17, 1993. Where were you born in Alaska?
I was born at Kewaw Lake, a barge landing site for miners at Candlestick.
Where and what year were you born?
1908, December 9th.
Tell us about your birthplace.
The birthplace is Kewaw Lake. There's a landing barge site for Cameron Creek.
How many people?
Well, there was, I think, five or six houses that accommodated the residents that took care of the barges from one thing to another at the landing site.
Mainly Native or white? Mainly Native or white people?
Those that were living there were Native.
Uh-huh. What type of housing?
Just flat boards.
What did people do for a living?
They took care of the landing site for the miners of Candle Creek.
What made you decide to homestead on Kodiak?
My folks moved to Iowa in 1920, and I left home when I was 18. I was in 11th grade in high school. My mother died, and folks were all small children, other than myself. There were seven of us all there. So to ease up the pressure on my father, I left home. Went to Marshalltown, got on a freight train, and went to North Dakota into the wheat fields to do a harvest week. Then to New York. From New York, I went to sea for a year and a half. Then back to New York. I had a notion to ship out on passenger ships that were going around the world. But our last trip, I stopped off at San Diego, and got discharged from the ship. Found myself in Portland, joined the army, got into trouble, married an Indian woman in 1929. Then with smallpox, she died in 1937. 1935 she died. I went up to Canada to work a little while, and then trouble with the you leave one country and go to another.
Customs, yeah.
Found myself back in Seattle and got a job coming up to Alaska, and I've been here since. That was in 1937.
Who else is on the homestead with you?
I got into jail. One night drunk. 6 months. They took me to Valdez. They took me to Valdez, and I figured there was something more involved than just putting me in jail. So I burned the jail down and found myself in prison. I was 8 years in prison. Came back to Kodiak on my own instead of them putting me back. Came back on my own. And the Carnegie, he says, you need a job, I said, I sure do. And so he put me on Scarl and Cook's Inlet. And after the fall season, he said, I got another job for you. And he said he had another job for me, and I went out to West Point and worked for a man that owned a cannery out there. Canning fish, and after the season, he asked me if I wanted to winter watch him. So I winter watched for him for 2 years, and then in the summer worked for the cannery. And the last year I worked there, the cook, Edward the regular cook, was adopting a boy, and she had to leave. And there was another cook coming in. I got acquainted with her, and I talked her into staying the last 2 years of my working for the cannery as winter watchman to stay the winter. And come spring, we decided to marry. And that marriage ran into about 30 years. In 1955, went to the States to his son's graduation from West Point, and back. And when we came back, we decided to go into livestock. We were from 1952 to 1955, we were making arrangements with the territory to homestead. And we took out 160 acre homestead rights at West Point. Then after I had gotten the 160 acres, the Juno said to the native rights I could have another 160 if I wanted it. And so I asked my wife, it's all right to get the honors and 60s. He said, where would you go? Well, I said, I'd go clear to the mountaintop and then start writing in the different colleges. And I had a mountaintop for a summer cruise. And he said, give me time to think it over. And 6 months afterwards, well, he said, 160 acres enough to pay taxes all those things. And so we didn't get the mountaintop. And she was a tobacco smoker. She tried to quit. She did quit. But in 1980, she started coughing blood. And the doctors here in town said she had lung cancer. And 1982, she died. Then after she died, well, I was old enough to be needing assistance myself, so I moved into town. And moving into town, I got acquainted with another woman, married her, and she was a Florida woman. And bought 5 acres and a mobile home. 5 acres. And a car. One to another. My health was getting to where I had to have quite a bit of doctors. Real expensive in Florida. And every time you had to see a doctor, it would be from $50 to $100. And so I tried to figure out how to get back to Kodiak where I could have Canada take care of me. And so I'm back here in Kodiak for some reason, but feeling far, it's a little hard to explain.
How did you find out about homesteading in Kodiak? How did you find out about homesteading in Kodiak?
I didn't hear what you said.
How did you find out about homesteading with Kodiak?
I had a friend came over from Anchorage, and he was a land surveyor, and he said it would do your people pretty good to take out a homestead if you intend to stay here the rest of your life. You might be able to have enough interest to keep both you in your old age. And so it took us a couple of years before we got the homestead. Not for Dr. Homestead Day. Juno said to native rights, I could have another 150. Then that 150 passed through, and my wife said the 150 was enough to capture.
About how many homesteaders were on Kodiak at the time?
I really couldn't tell you that. You'd have to find out from the land office.
What were the requirements for homesteading?
How's that?
What were the requirements for homesteading?
Yeah, homestead requirements were to have a home and a piece of land cultivated for garden.
How did you pick your site?
We were living in a tent at the place of the site. Years ago, there was a fisherman that lived there and didn't use it anymore. And so we were able to acquire it.
Did it change at all from the beginning? Did it change at all from the beginning?
What?
Did it change for the site? Change site from the beginning? Did it change at all from the beginning? Did it change at all from the beginning?
Did it change at all from the beginning? The beginning was just a piece of land, a small harbor, and it was ideal for what it was used for, a fishing site. I mean, for a place to pay for the fishermen that had to get started. And then, after my wife's son graduated, we went to the States and bought livestock and brought them. And part of time was in after we got around it, but there was quite a bit of excitement in acquiring it. We went to every sale that was along Seattle, put in the home state of Washington, bought sheep from Oregon, bought goats, long-haired goats, a couple of donkeys, a dog, and two geese and a gander, and 13 heifers, and a heifer and one goat. We were going to ship them up with the Alaskan steamship, decided not to bring them. Then the next opportunity was to fly them. And there was a flying outfit that had bought some planes from the Army or Air Force, and they were using them to air freight up to Alaska. And we put on 60 animals on that one plane, and my wife flew up ahead of me to the Navy base, and the commandant said, "You can't land them here." Well, she said, "Well, it's too late, he's already in the air." And we landed them at the Buckskin River airport, and the mission down here, the Baptist mission, they accommodated us for a week to leave the livestock there by the time we got a barge to barge them out home. The wool on the sheep, the year is is a losing proposition, because the cost of the world in shipping is more than what you receive from any pyramid notion of sharing of sharing the sheep and selling them out. There is something in the world out. It costs more to send the world than what you receive. But we got to riding around, and there was a northeastern state around, I forget which one it was, but they had a wool yarn making factory there, but if you got sent wool to them, it'd make the blankets one for half of the wool. And that way you could gain a little profit by turning the wool into a blanket. Then the mohair, if it was longer than 10 inches, they'd make wigs down in Texas. And they'd give you from $6 to prize long hair, and long hair would be 20 inches or over, and 20 inches long hair would be somewhere around $14 a pound. And we shipped one that brought $22 a pound. More hair. So it's that you had mohair goats here on Kodiak Island, where it was free of any of any dirt or anything that you pick up into the hair. You pay to raise it.
Or the make it.
But if you get the long hair, that takes special care to. You'd have to braid their hair. You'd have to put a sock to keep them from dragging on the ground.
What was a typical day like when you began the homestead?
The typical day was waking up in the morning to see whether or not you had any livestock left. It was a bear country. And once I got a letter from the outfit that was organized here in Livestock, the Livestock Growers Association, invited me to come into one of their meetings. And when I came in, I put the question up to them that I was in bear country and could I have any assistance from them. And they said I was too far away. And so I had to contend to the bear problem by myself.
What were the communications like? What were the communications like?
The communication was radio, ham radio sets, and they're still using them for a lot of communication locally. The mail delivered in about once a week. It's flying.
Who were your neighbors?
When we lived out there after fishing season for about 4 or 5 years, my wife and I were the only ones living there. Now there's quite a village.
What were some of the personal changes for you when you moved back to town?
My first experience coming back to town was trying to overcome my 8 years in prison.
Yeah.
And that was one of the biggest handicaps of my life. Overcoming the prison. And in 1982, Governor Hammond broadcasted worldwide that I was being restored to my civil rights. And still, even with the restoration of my civil rights, I still have problems now and then with it.
That's it. That's it. Is your former homestead still privately owned? Is your former homestead still privately owned?
There are several people who owned it now. It was broken up in several sections and sold piecemeal.
Thank you for sharing this information. It's been a pleasure to learn about this history.
I appreciate giving you the information. And if there's any problems in my bringing it to you, I am sorry for it, and I appreciate all the attention.
Thanks.